The Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR.
These are the Daves. It is Friday the 13th, didn't we just have one of those? Of March 2015, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM from the luxurious Student Union building on the Musqueam territory of Oaksend, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, it's March, and as usual in March, there is so much going on in theater this weekend, as well as the rest of the month. We can't do it all in just an hour, but we'll try our best. We've got Brave New Playwrights, the annual showcase of new scripts from the UBC Creative Writing Department. We'll talk about that with one of the directors. It's a Zoo's Sebastian Archibald has written a new play. The competition is fierce. It's all about the life or death struggle in the corporate world. And it had its world premiere last week right here in Vancouver, and he's going to come by later to tell us all about that. And our old pal Jacques Lalonde is hosting a variety show at the Havana next week. He's not going to be here. He just asked me to mention it. And Western Gold Theater's Anna Hagen is here to talk about their new season that starts next week at PAL. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. So Anna Hagen is in the studio. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
And you are you're a Vancouver actor, a UBC grad to start with.
Yes.
And you have been involved in Vancouver theater for many years.
Many, many.
Film and television as well. I spent a bit of time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And you are now the artistic director of Western Gold Theater.
That's right.
So yes. Tell me a little bit about what Western Gold Theater is first.
Well, Western Gold Theater was founded by...
I'm just going to move this a little closer. Don't let it interrupt
Cogill,
you.
about 1994, when Joy got up into her senior years, she discovered that there wasn't much work happening, so she formed a company, mm-hmm. Western Gold Theater. Joy turned it over to me. She stiff-armed me about 3 years ago. And that's what we do. We're a senior theater company of professional actors, 55 on up, and mm-hmm. we mentor emerging younger colleagues. Yeah.
So you give work to people that might not be as productive or as active
exactly.
as they were, but you're
seniors.
Also helping out those coming up.
That's right. And the focus is on experience and longevity in the profession. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of us have been around the block,
yeah.
and we still have a lot of juice left, and we want to explore all these great plays that you don't see too often anymore because there's so many characters.
Yeah.
So we do two staged readings of plays that have 9, 10, 12 characters. And then in the fall, we do one full production, which usually has 4, maybe 5.
Mm-hmm.
But, we find it's very popular with people. You know, the Vancouver Playhouse is no longer with us. And yeah. in the old days, they used to do big costume pieces. And mm-hmm. you'd see 20 people on the stage. Well, no one can afford that anymore.
Yeah.
So we might lose those plays if we don't bring them out.
Yeah, and this is I'm noticing a trend in theater for that very reason, where it's just more economical to do these large productions in a smaller way, and so you see things like Applause Musicals in Theater, which is a great group that does staged concerts of large musicals that we don't get to see anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also small groups like Spectral Theater that do their stories as radio plays.
Yes,
so you get a small venue, you have three or four actors with a couple of microphones, and you've got a show. At Pacific Theater, we had a radio play version of It's a Wonderful Life just this last Christmas.
Yes,
then we have organizations like the Cold Reading Series that attracts a large audience to watch actors on stage just reading scripts. So it is something that is becoming more popular and it really makes a good use of the actors and a chance to expose people to scripts that they might not see performed.
Exactly, because the people, excuse me, that works with Western Gold, we're all professionals. So that's how we make our living, right? But we still will do anything just to act. And that's what our staged reading series does.
And you do it at the PAL Theater in Cole Harbour.
Yeah.
But you were in White Rock before, weren't you?
I was in White Rock.
Okay.
I was very heavily involved with Arena Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But Western Gold's always been at PAL.
Yeah.
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 So what's happening for this season?
Well, this season we're doing Laburnum Grove, which comes up next weekend. It's an immoral comedy by J.B. Priestley. It's got nine actors and many, many other artists, set designer, production manager, whatnot. And in June, we're doing a brand new play by two residents of PAL.
Oh, wonderful.
It's called Comfort Cottages. And it's about four women, and there's men in it too, but these four women find themselves at retirement age not quite knowing what to do. And through a series of circumstances, they come together and take over a motel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that one's coming in June.
That's coming in June.
Right. So what's the story of Laburnum Grove?
Laburnum Grove takes place in the suburbs, and it's about a family that you think they're very normal, very suburban. There's the daughter who's 20, 21, who wishes dad wasn't so boring. He spends all his time when he's not working in the greenhouse growing tomatoes. And then there's mom, but then there's the in-laws that come, and they're spongers. They always say, Dad, you're so lucky, you're so lucky, you have so much money. Well, it turns out that we find out why he has so much money. It takes place in the recession era of Britain. So Dad has to find very ingenious ways of keeping the family alive. And I'm not going to tell you much more.
That may or may not be moral.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah.
that's where the subtitle
funny,
comes in.
Yeah. And he's a master playwright.
Mm-hmm.
So actors just jumped at the chance to do his work.
Mm-hmm. Who have you got in your cast?
We have Tanya Dixon Warren, Ron Halder, Brett Harris, Susan Hogan, Keith Martin Gordy, Brendan McLarty, John Prowse, and Vic Ouster.
So that's a pretty good group.
It's a wonderful group.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I think it's we're starting to build up an audience, as you say. There's a trend, and basically, what we want to do, what I'm really passionate about, is telling stories.
Yeah.
You know, and as you get older, there's certain stories you like when you're just out of university, and you should. There's some amazing young theater going on, but I've been there and I've done that in the early days with Tamanus Theatre.
Yeah.
And now as a senior, there's other stories that interest me, new or old. So I think that's what Western Gold Theatre provides to the community, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's sell some tickets.
Yeah.
What are the dates?
The dates are March 20 to March 22nd. Mm-hmm. That's
so
Friday
next week,
to Saturday.
Yeah.
7:30 p.m. Right. We find that's a better time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have matinees Saturday and Sunday at 2.
Okay.
And you can get tickets at laburnum.brownpapertickets.com. You can buy them at the box office, 604-363-5734. Or if you go to our site, they will give you all that information.
Right.
It's westerngoldtheater.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the PAL site will have information on it too.
Yes, maybe not as much because.
But at least they'll have a ticket link.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but go to westerngoldtheater.org.
Yeah, that's the best.
That's where you
get
the best information.
Yeah, and come along.
Yeah.
Have you been there? There's a wonderful garden.
Oh, yes.
That surrounds the theater.
Yes, it's up on the fourth
eighth
or fifth
floor.
Eighth floor,
eighth
that's
floor.
It. But there's a beautiful terrace and a little bar and a place to sit and watch.
It's fabulous, it's very intimate.
Yeah.
And we just have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about it. I hope it goes wonderfully well. And you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thanks
very much.
I will.
That, of course, is the Pogues playing Fiesta, and they're not going to be in town, but the Vancouver's favorite Pogues tribute band, Shane's Teeth, is going to be leading the St. Patrick's Day revelry at the Wise Hall tomorrow night. At on Adnack Street, right behind the Vancouver East Cultural Center, they will be they'll be performing along with the Bad Beats. So don't miss that. There's a couple other St. Paddy's Day related things going on tomorrow night. We've got right here on campus at the Mahoney and Sons Irish Theme Pub. We've got our good friends Coldwater Road. And then at the Railway Club downtown, it's a surf and ska party with the Hang Ten, Hangmen, the Cavalieros, and these guys, Rude City Riot.
She used to hold our baby, She can't hold him anymore, and grief will make you crazy. Greed will make you cold. Now I can see the hanging tree, just 8 more miles to go. Swing low, sweet chariot. Devil's right hand leads me down this road. This morning we were desperate, and now we must be cursed. The gold was our salvation, but the sheriff found me first. Now he's waiting at the crossroads where he knows she's got to go. And I can see her on the hillside, just 2 more miles to go. Swing low, sweet chariot. The devil's right hand leads me down this road.
Redemption beneath the setting sun. I saw my darling waiting. The sheriff is gone. Swirl ain't gonna just dance. I ain't got no soul to sell. A bullet shot the sheriff once sent me down to hell.
Heavy, and I'm heading on alone. 4 bullets in my baby's gun, just 1 more mile to go.
There you go, that's Coldwater Road, and they are going to be performing tomorrow night at right here on campus at Mahoney and Sons Irish themed pub for their St. Paddy's Day Western themed show. Let's see what else we got going on. Okay, we're going to take a break. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to hear some more music. We're going to hear from the cast of Portal 2, the musical. We're going to hear from High Rise Dex and Jacques Lalonde. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about It's a Zoo and Brave New Playwrights. Lots of exciting theater news going on right here on your radio right now. Don't go away.
So when I think about Francophonie, I think about diversity. Why diversity? I think it comes from my personal experience first, because I've been living in Switzerland, France, Canada. So I have sort of an overview of different French cultures within these countries. And my passion is really to create links between all the people, everything. That's why I started working for the Source newspaper. At first I was in Montreal, so I was writing from Montreal for the Source newspaper here in Vancouver. So we created sort of a bridge between the two, because at the Source we have two sections, one in English, one in French, the bilingual newspaper. And I'm very interested about the dynamic that it creates, having these two teams, these two approaches on topics sometimes. So this is one thing. And the other thing is the Source newspaper has a tagline, which is Forum of Diversity. So why we picked diversity? We think it is all about differences between people. And there's so many differences, like we can be role, gender, cultural, of course, background. And this is very fertile ground. It's all about the living experience of differences. It generates questions, sometimes debates, and even conflicts. But we think all these conflicts, for example, is positive. We should talk about it. This is what makes our society much more interesting. Whereas multiculturalism is more a political process, from our opinion. So it tends to actually put people in ethnic boxes. It creates tags. And we think like putting people in boxes can be a political thing, like to manage the differences, but it tends to forget about all the real questions within one group, let's say within one culture, let's say within the French, that we tend to put the tag French community here. There's so many variants, so many differences, and so many different approaches that's what we're interested to talk about. So yeah, my name is Gary. I'm the editor-in-chief of the French section of The Source. Please join us for the Rendezvous de la Francophonie from March 6th to 22nd. And if you want more information, you can visit rvf.ca.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Please enter your password. You have one saved message. First, saved message.
Radio Dave is a radio star. Radio Dave's a radio star. Hey, Radio Dave, it's Radio Jacques. I'm just calling. Had an idea for tomorrow because I heard Kempton cannot make it, but he's going to try and send some music in too, which is awesome. And I thought that one of the things you could do that would be interesting, I don't know if it would fit your format, is that Radio Dave, the announcer of Radio Dave on the radio, could interview Dave Campbell, the actor, who is performing at the variety show next week. And if you made your voice, you know, slightly higher pitched or whatever, that would be pretty funny if you were interviewing yourself. And you could talk about what you're going to be doing at the variety show and stuff. And and I don't know if you've probably got a poster online or something. There's going to be magicians. There's going to be dancers. There's going to be comedic dancing. There's also going to be storytelling and stand-up comedy. So there's all kinds of entertainment. Three different bands are performing set. And, of course, the magic of Kenny Rogers as well as yourself. So, So I thought Radio Dave interviewing Dave Campbell could be funny, you interviewing yourself. That's my two cents. Talk to you soon. Ciao.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7. To message deleted. End of messages.
Can't get to Tehran. It's too far away. Let's head for West Van on a Persian holiday. There's a glide in your stride, and you like it that way. Or down Ambleside on a Persian holiday. Hey Ayatollah, let's take a stroller in the West Coast air. Your hat, you hipster cat, and let down your hair. Well, I've got a plan. Let's do it today. Oh, let's head for West Van on a Persian holiday. He's downright gay, celebrating the Rus. Oh, we really cut loose, celebrating the Rus. That's a Persian holiday. Put some Western swing into your Persian holiday.
a revolution, nor are we revolutionaries. Our simple songs are for your spirit in its eternal quest to be free. These aren't the days for serving too many, these aren't the days for serving just one. These days I count all my blessings, thank God the rising sun. But I hear the same sad cries on the television news, and it's giving me a classic case of contemporary blues. Get lost in black girls' rhyme. Oh, it's time. Cause consequence of a man to dance a lot less, don't a lot more offense. Hands I'm taking the time with the body unwind, kicking to the beach with the pretty girls off their feet. Oh, it's complete. Oh, and I find the time to abuse good wine, book a tight line with a few old friends of mine. By design.
It just occurred to me that that bit I've played of Jacques Lalonde on the phone, we didn't tell you where the show was. It's called Spring Fling. It's going to be at the Havana on Commercial Drive next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 o'clock. It's a variety show hosted by Kenny Rogers with people like High Rise Dex, who you all just heard, and Cat and Tony, and Jacques Lalonde, and Kenny Rogers, and I might be doing something there myself as well. On the phone right now is Sebastian Archibald. Hi, Sebastian.
Hey, Dave. How's it
there
going?
There we are. And Sebastian is writer of a play that just opened this week at the Shop Theater called The Competition is Fierce. How's it going there?
It's going really, really good. Yeah, we've had about 9 performances now, I think. We managed to sell out 6 of them, which is always really exciting for an independent theater company to get that kind of interest. And so it's been, we're about halfway through our run now. So yeah. We opened about a week and a half ago, and we've got a week and a half to go. So all the reviews are starting to trickle in, and many of them are very positive. And we've had one that was pretty negative, and that's kind of been interesting.
But that's what you expect from that critic anyway, so it's not really surprising.
Well, that's true. I mean, it is a very confrontational show, yeah. So I'm not totally surprised that people have a confrontational response to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an edgy show. There's quite a bit of violence. There's nudity. There's sexuality. It's, you know, it's not something that you want to take your conservative grandma to, you know what I'm saying?
Not if you like her.
No, that's right. If you want to torture grandma, then definitely bring her to this show, because she will be furious.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about, like, what what's the concept of the show?
Yeah, so it takes place in sort of a world where high-profile executive corporate jobs are won and lost in gladiatorial combat. So basically, the only way to move up the corporate ladder is to jump in an arena and fight to the death against an opponent. You know, the loser dies and the winner gets this high-profile executive job. And so the story follows this this nebbish young guy, like in his 30s, and he's basically thrust, kind of coerced into this world, into squaring off against this handsome, charismatic loner, this, you know, this quintessential alpha male, and basically fight for this job. And then also thrown in the mix is this very subversive coworker, and she's kind of got an agenda all her own, and basically it's all the chaos that ensues.
Well, the corporate world likes to use the metaphor of warfare anyway. So, like, sounds like you're just sort of literalizing what the world that already exists.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like this whole idea of sort of competition and how much it's embedded in our culture, in our entertainment, in our sports, in our free market system. It's such a revered concept, and so for me, it was kind of interesting to take that, kind of turn it on its head, and make it really ugly, make it really volatile, make it really brutal. And so that's where the sort of idea of gladiatorial combat comes in, and the excesses of the sort of the Roman Empire, and of course the excesses of our culture, our first world culture, our corporate culture. So it all kind of just collided in my brain, and then I guess this was the end result.
It's a bit of a departure for an It's a Zoo production too. You're actually doing it in a theater.
Well, we are, but we've constructed our own space. So that's kind of our bag, is creating immersive, dynamic theater. That's our mandate.
Yeah.
And so it's at the Shop Theater, but what we've done to sort of reflect this the idea of being locked up in this corporate office tower is the whole play takes place inside of this white, pristine cube. And there's all these projections all over the walls that kind of give you the impression of moving around this corporate office tower from room to room, depending on what character you're following and how the story is developing. So, and it's for very intimate audiences of about 50 people per show. And it's in the round. It's performed in the round. So it kind of enhances that kind of arena feeling. So it's a very kind of claustrophobic kind of environment. Yeah. It's a very kind of intimate environment. The actors are really only ever like a few feet away from you, which can be even crazier once they're getting naked and covered in blood.
Okay.
If that doesn't sell it, I don't know what will.
They're naked and covered in blood. You buried the lead, man. That's what we should have started with.
right, exactly.
So are there any tickets left?
There are, yeah. We've got a couple of sold-out shows this week, but there's still probably 5 shows, I think, that still have some availability. Yeah. So, yeah, and we're running until the 22nd of March, so that's next Sunday. So, we've got today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and then next week, Tuesday through Sunday. All our shows are at 8 p.m. at the Shop Theater, which is 125 East 2nd, right off East 2nd in Maine.
Yeah.
And, if people want more information and buy tickets, a link to buy tickets and all that jazz. Also, the show comes with a host of warnings. So if they want to familiarize themselves with that, they can go to itsazoo.org. Mm-hmm. That's itsazoo.org.
All right. Thanks very much, Sebastian.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the run.
All right. Thanks, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Jesus, not enough whiskey, ran all your friends away. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, all you ever had to say. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, only thing on your mind. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey, so don't go sitting around crying. Jesus, not enough whiskey, ran all of your friends
loser. Not another whiskey. All you ever had to say. Sound mind, you don't care what they may say, because you know that Jesus is the only way. So you stop doing this and you stop doing that. You used to be fun before the party was done. You got the staff of the tribe of Judah in your hand. You got his milk and honey flowing through your land. So I look at you, and what do I see? I see my reflection looking back at me. And I ask myself, am I wasting my time? But even Jesus turned a little water into wine. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey. Ran all your friends away. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey. All you ever had to say. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey. Only thing on your mind. Too much Jesus, not enough whiskey. Don't go sitting around crying.
Hi, I'm Dan Hamhuis. On the ice, I play defense for the Vancouver Canucks. Off the ice, I've joined another team, the Canucks Autism Network. And I hope you'll join us for our family festival on Sunday, April 12th at Jack Poole Plaza. Enjoy live entertainment, food, and family-friendly activities as we celebrate World Autism Awareness Month. And best of all, it's free. So come out on April 12th and help spread awareness. To learn more, please visit CanucksAutism.ca/support.
Tune in every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, where we bring you the Community Living Show. A full hour is produced by the disabled community, showcasing for BC self-advocates, with lots of interesting and fun content, including some interviews from special guests with special needs. Join hosts Michael, Kelly, and friends every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. Because you've got a friend in community living and CITR.
And we've got a friend in the studio. Chris Robson just showed up. This has been a crazy day. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dave. I've got a friend in CITR too.
What brings you here?
The 480 bus.
You are part of Brave New Playwrights, which is the annual UBC Creative Writing Department showcase of new plays.
Yeah, that's right. It's been going for, I think, 28 or 29 years
now.
Yeah,
86, I think they started.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was at the opening night last night. So this year there are 12 short plays that are divided into two programs of six.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at last night's shows, and I'm going to be at tonight's because one of them I've directed and I'm also acting in. Apparently I don't have enough hats on my head. I know,
I'm getting emails from all my theater friends. I'm in two shows here. I'm directing this. I'm doing that. It's just like everybody in town's involved in this thing.
Well, since you mentioned that, I mean, two of the actors in my show are also in a second Brave New show.
Yeah. Right?
So that, you know, lends to logistical situations where there's got to be some negotiating and compromise as far as time and rehearsal and just getting... The other thing is, of course, the festival producers have done an incredible job.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the plays have different technical needs. Like, you know, there's a few that need a bed, for example. And then there's some that need a table and some that need chairs, right? So all these things have to be moved around and in, like, less than 5 minutes between each 15-minute play. And it's just amazing how they managed to make it all come together.
It's amazing how fast... one or two minutes here and there can accumulate into the last show starting at 11 instead of 10, or you know, like it can really draw things out. So everything has to move quickly.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, the other thing about the format is that each playwright in the creative writing department, you know, they've worked towards getting their scripts to be 15 minutes.
Right.
And in some cases, they may get to about 18 to 20 minutes maximum.
Yeah.
And of course, all that happens, you know, in a process with the writers and with the writing instructors, and then, you know, when you read something in your head,
yeah,
you go, well, that times out at about 15 minutes, right? And then, of course, when you're actually there in the space,
yeah,
there's entrances, exits, sound cues, light cues, and so on, and suddenly, you know, you find yourself having to cut a few lines here and there, and really boil down to what it is, what's the story, what's the essence that, you know, the minimum that we can strip away whatever isn't really necessary,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
so it's very streamlined. And if you find that one of the pieces that you're watching, you're not really connecting with it, for example, well, okay, in 10 minutes from now, there's going to be something entirely different,
yeah,
by a different writer, yeah, different group of actors, and different director, and so on.
You. When we were talking before we came on the air, you said something really interesting. A quote from John Cooper of the UBC Theater Department. What was that?
Yeah. Well, I did my master's degree in directing and theater, and John was my mentor in my first year of the 2-year program, mm-hmm, and I was also the graduate academic assistant for his directing class. And whether he said this himself, I think he was quoting somebody, and I'm embarrassed to admit I can't recall who the original source of the quote was, yeah, but he said, the limitations of the theater are its source of art. So rather than, you know, complain that we don't have enough money, we don't have enough time, we don't have enough space, etc., well, so what? You,
yeah,
make the most of what you've got, and you be grateful for what you've got. And from there, as a starting point, you say, now, what can we do with what we've got? So I think that that's the beauty of the Brave New Playwrights Festival, is that although there's a very, very low budget, and let's just eliminate the words L and N, or L and W, just make it no budget,
yeah,
because essentially that's what it is, right? So the theater department has been able to lend, like, some scenery pieces and things like that,
yeah,
chairs, tables, and also, you know, some technical students from that side have volunteered their time for this. So really, the challenge and the opportunity for the writers and for the directors is to find innovative ways of staging and telling these stories that don't require a lot of smoke and mirrors and technical wizardry, you,
yeah,
know, and ultimately then it's their stories about people,
yeah,
people relationships, right? And you know, for me, the bottom line, whether I'm watching a film, a play, a short film, or whatever, a TV show, bottom line for me is, do I care?
Yeah.
Can I get emotionally connected to what's happening to these people in this story? And I'm happy to say that seems to be the spine through all these plays, is that it's about people and, you know, overcoming obstacles and going towards what they want.
Yeah.
And I find it very compelling. It's always inspirational to me to see, you know, these great ideas coming from these writers, and then a wave of, you know, emerging artists getting involved, new actors, new designers, and so on, new directors. Not only new ones. I mean, there's a few grizzled old graybeards like myself in there, you know, but...
Just to spice it up a bit, you know.
Yeah, spice being salt and pepper, I think is what you mean there.
So tell me a little bit about the script that you're directing.
Okay, it's by Kat Montague. Kat has been a professional writer and story editor for quite a long time, and... she and I first met during the cold reading series at the ANZA Club, where local writers brought their scripts or, you know, segments of scripts to be read in front of a live audience of predominantly writers and actors, mm-hmm. and give them a chance to hear by actors being spoken what the words were that were only in their heads or on their computers up until that point, right? And she and her husband and I and a bunch of other people through that, you know, connected and made some short films back in the day. And then we sort of drifted apart, you know, as people do. Yeah. I got an email from her out of the blue and said, I need a director for this play, and I think there's a part in it for you, too. Like, well, as if my head wasn't big enough already. So she sent me the script. I loved it right away. And I said, yes and yes. I want to do this and I want to act in it, too.
Now, what's it called?
It's called The Bed Trick. If you are familiar with the Shakespeare play Measure for Measure, mm-hmm. that is sort of the source of inspiration, although this is a very, very modern, you know, 21st century spin on that. Isabella is Isabel in mm-hmm. our version, and Isabella in the original is a very chaste young virgin whose older brother has committed a crime, and I think his name is it Angelo? Or Claudio, I can't remember. God, you'd think I should remember this. Anyway, he propositions her and says, well, I will, you know, get your brother out of jail, but you have to sleep with me. And she is forced to make this decision, and ultimately she decides, no, my virginity is worth more than my brother's life, yeah. right? So in the modern spin on this, Kat really poses some interesting questions about who's in control of what is considered acceptable sexuality in the 21st century. So Isabel's younger sister has been on trial for statutory rape because she, at the age of 19, had sex with a 16-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. So although there's only like a very short age gap between them and she feels she hasn't done anything wrong, of course, by the letter of the law,
yeah.
she is going to be found guilty of stat rape. And of course, that will, you know, ruin her life yeah. forever. And her sister, Isabel, is a law student, a law intern, and the judge, played by me, propositions her. And so now she's in this situation. And, of course, that actually is all set up. This isn't what
I was just going to say, you've only got 15 minutes to tell this story.
I know. Because this is actually a segment from a much larger play, a full-length play that Kat has written and is still developing, and I think would be a really good full-length yeah. play could easily be picked up by any of the big theater companies in town. Yeah. So Isabel, the story picks up...
Are you listening, Bill Miller?
Isabel has slept with the judge. And right. what's happened is, to her surprise, and the judge's, and probably everybody else's, you know, that there's an actual loving relationship forming yeah. between them. And their mother... is very controlling, but in a way that is, you know, she doesn't want her daughters to make the same mistake that she made, which was, as a young woman, you know, 18, 19 years old, she got pregnant and had to drop out of college and had to sort of abandon her own career goals, her own hopes for the future. So she's resolved that she doesn't want either of her daughters to be limited like that, right. you know, to be forced into a situation of having to give up on what they want. And so, you know, in that sense, although she may come across as domineering or controlling, ultimately it is motivated by a genuine concern and love mm-hmm. for her daughters. So it's a really interesting look at, on the one hand, here's a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old and what society has to say about that. But then the older sister, who's 23, and the judge, who's, let's just say, twice that age plus a few, what does society have to say about that? Why is it yeah. so wrong for an older man and a younger woman,
right?
Versus, for example, an older woman and a younger man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it occurs to me...
Who are both teenagers.
Yeah,
you know, right. it's just about that line and yeah. and also the you know, the gender politics and
well,
there's
and
a
course,
lot going
gonna,
on.
If you're going to have a law, I mean, it's got to be yeah. applied equally to everybody.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And the character Jen, the younger sister, says, you know, he didn't tell me he was 16. He seemed a lot older. I didn't mm-hmm. know, and there was alcohol involved. Well, again, if you turn the tables, if that was a 19-year-old young yeah. man yeah. and a 16-year-old girl. You know, would those same excuses be tolerated yeah. or even you know?
And that's just okay. one of 12 stories that are being
oh,
told.
Oh, that's
here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about where and when in that. It's on Granville Island at Studio 1398, the old Playwrights Theatre Center.
That's right. Yeah. So for people who aren't familiar with the geography of Granville Island, if you know where the Kids Only Market is, it's like the first big building on your right.
Your first right turn.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then the next big building is the Waterfront Theater.
Yeah.
And then there's a little gap there. And then Festival House. Mm-hmm. And Festival House is where Studio 1398 is.
Right.
So it's up on the third floor. It only runs till Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's Program 2 playing tonight. On Saturday, there will be a 2 o'clock matinee of Program 1 and then a 7:30 p.m. evening performance of Program 2, and then on Sunday it's reversed. There'll be a 2 p.m. matinee of Program 2, 7:30 of Program 1. You can order tickets online through brownpapertickets.com.
Yep.
The Brave New Playwrights has an event page on Facebook, so it's spelt Brave, like brave,
yeah.
new, like new, play, and then rights, R-I-T-E-S, like right. the rites of
like
spring.
Like a ritual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it is. It's an annual sort of spring ritual. It's like mm-hmm. this new growth of theater and creativity.
Yeah. We are running out of time.
What?
Yes, yes. The next show is lurking at the window, hollering at us to get out of here. So.
I cry foul.
Chris, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
This was terrific.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Go see more live theater, people.
Yes, yes, indeedy duty. So we're going to close out now with a song from the cast album of Portal 2 the Musical. Vancouver's Geekenders have put a musical about their favorite video game, and it's going to be playing at the Rio Theater tomorrow night, but here's a song from the CD. Thanks very much.
It's what I live for, to help unfortunate test subjects like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways. Repented, seen the light, and made a switch. True, yes. And I fortunately know a little science. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed. Pathetic, poor, unfortunate subjects, restrained by me. This one needing to be tested, that one wants to be set free. And do I help them? Well, we'll see. It's happened to the best. Someone couldn't pass a test. Now they're gone and you should pay them your respects. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate subjects. Are you ready?
But what if she doesn't pass? She's mildly brain damaged, you know?
Oh, well, you'll have a chance. Life's full of tough challenges, isn't it? And there is one more thing. We haven't discussed the subject of you killing me.
But she
couldn't have. If you've done that to anyone else, they might have devoted their existence to exacting revenge. Luckily.
I wish we could play the rest of that, but we are rapidly running out of time. Anyway, if you want to get your own copy of Portal 2, the cast album, it's available on Bandcamp. And there's a link to it on the Dave Radio Facebook page. And that's our show. Thanks a lot for spending your lunch hour with us. We have a special shout out to Paulette Cameron and Vic Bondaroff, the photographer and graphic artist who made the logo that adorns our podcast on iTunes. That's right, kids. Dave Radio is now on iTunes. Type CITR-Dave Radio in the search box, and you can relive your favorite moments from past shows. And a big thanks to all of you who contributed to this year's fund drive. We came oh so close to reaching our goal, but it's not too late. The Donate Now page is still open at CITR.ca. Every dollar you give brings us that much closer to making your online and digital experience with CITR the very best experience possible. Eleanor and Erica are next with Femme Concept, and don't forget Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next Friday at this same time. Bye-bye.
When I think about Francophonie, I think about diversity. Why diversity? I think it comes from my personal experience first, because I've been living in Switzerland, France, Canada. So I have sort of an overview of different French cultures within these countries. And my passion is really to create links between all the people, everything. That's why I started working for the Source newspaper. At first I was in Montreal, so I was writing from Montreal for the Source newspaper here in Vancouver. So we created sort of a bridge between the two, because at the Source we have two sections, one in English, one in French, the bilingual newspaper. And I'm very interested about the dynamic that it creates, having these two teams, these two approaches on topics sometimes. So this is one thing. And the other thing is the Source newspaper has a tagline, which is Forum of Diversity. So why we picked diversity, we think it is all about differences between people. And there's so many differences, like we can be role, gender, cultural, of course, background. And this is very fertile ground. It's all about the living experience of differences. It generates questions, sometimes debates, and even conflicts. But we think all these conflicts, for example, is positive. We should talk about it. This is what makes our society much more interesting. Whereas multiculturalism is more a political process, from our opinion. So it tends to actually put people in ethnic boxes. It creates tags. And we think like putting people in boxes can be a political thing, like to manage the differences. But